Good morning, everybody. I've only got 5 minutes, so I'll try to keep this short. Basically, what happened was about 2 weeks ago. Let me just start from the beginning. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, at our small group in Vleesdorp, as we were finishing, we were all praying, and the Lord just gave me a vision of a guy in a motorcycle. A motorcycle driving through I thought it was through town. And just as he was driving, he just left flames behind as he went. And then all of a sudden, an angel appeared with these huge wings. And then I just shared with our small group, and I didn't understand what it was about. And I thought that the Lord was going to put Vleesdorp on fire, something. Anyways, but that will still happen, but that's not the case. Not at the moment. So that was on the Tuesday evening. And that happened about 2 weeks ago. And the Sunday that followed, Yanni gave the message about Average Joe. And it just stuck with me. When I was driving back to Vleesdorp, I was just thinking about, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph all the time. So just as I was going out of the final turn, the motorcycle crashed into me. Sanet, if you could just, just stand out of the way. That's the blowpo. He's bietjie gebreek. Anyway, so what happened was there was a car that a trailer, he was with the trailer, and he went around the corner, and this motorcycle cut the corner, and he hit the trailer, and then he came crashing into me. The two people who were on the motorcycle, they were injured very badly. And all I had to do was just dust myself off from the dust from my window. I didn't have a scratch on me. There was nothing. I didn't have a scratch. Anyways, could you just put the lights on, please? I was lucky. And then on the Monday after that, the Lord gave me Psalm 34. I'm just going to read it to you. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. And this verse specifically. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves me and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants, and no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. The verse of the angel, that's from my vision, and also the verse from the Lord, not one of your bones will be broken. That was a miracle. And if the people didn't come crashing into my car, they would have gone over the barrier. So a couple of miracles. So they've all recovered. The guy broke his leg very badly, and his wife broke her ankle and cracked her ribs. And I looked then like as I look now. So Anyways, yeah, just glory to God for keeping me safe.
Thank you, Andre. I'm glad you're still with us. Praise God for that. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes so we can pray together. Father God, you are so glorious and wonderful. And we lift up your name this morning, Lord, to that place of honor that you deserve. That throne in our hearts and the throne of our minds, that's where you sit, Lord. We declare your goodness over our lives, Lord. Father, you are such a personal and intimate God, Lord. You intervened and saved Andre from any kind of physical harm, Lord. That is the kind of God you are, Lord. You're not a story in the Bible, Lord. You're not a God who did things long ago, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to glorify you, Lord. We want to just say that we know that you are Lord. It is you who made us, and we are yours. We are yours, Lord. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. This morning, Lord, I just thank you that you are faithful across the generations. Every generation that is sitting here, Lord. Lord, we are willing to be touched by you this morning, Lord. Father, it is not by power nor by might, but by your Holy Spirit that we get ministered to, Lord. And this morning, Lord, I pray that every single heart in this room is open to receive the truth directly from heaven, Lord. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. I am your instrument in your hand this morning, Lord. Father, let us take no glory for ourselves. Everything we owe to you, Lord. The very breath that we breathe in, Lord. The very heart that beats in our chest, Lord. Our very lives belong to you. So we just want to honor you this day. And we want to glorify you. And Lord Jesus, we dedicate this message I'm about to share, Lord, and we dedicate the remaining of the service into your hands, and we declare your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, because it was David's birthday, I thought I would share a message called Happy Birthday. But that's not the only reason. It's also an outreach service. So I thought that talking about birthdays would be quite kind of general. Everybody can understand what a birthday is. Everybody celebrates a birthday. Some different to others, though. In our family, that's me and Kat, we come from very different backgrounds. And my love language is very different to Kat's love language. So when we first got married, every time it was Kat's birthday, I would take her far away. I would take her away for a weekend so the two of us could spend time together. And every time it was my birthday, she would throw me this huge surprise birthday party with lots of people and everything like that. And then eventually, after a couple of birthdays, we were like, babe, I hate birthday parties. I really don't like being the center of attention, which is quite strange because I'm stand up here with a mic in my hand. But it's not my natural thing. This is a gifting from God. It is not my natural desire to be the center of attention. And so we kind of worked out that I was giving Kat the birthday party that I wanted, and she was giving me the birthday party that she wanted. Anyway, the best thing about getting older, David, I'll give you a word of wisdom. The best thing about getting older is that it takes absolutely no effort whatsoever. So the message I'm sharing is called Happy Birthday. Now, I turned to the Gospel of John this morning. And Johnny Bell was preaching last week. And he mentioned that a lot of people in church, especially the newer generation, the only scriptures that they ever read are the ones on the PowerPoint slide on Sunday. Now, that fazed me a little bit. So I'm going to explain. And because people, he went on to explain that people don't know where the different books of the Bible are. So I'm going to explain to those who are not that familiar with their Bibles. The book of John is the fourth book of the New Testament. The New Testament is the small part of the Bible. The big part is the Old Testament. The small part is the New Testament. And it follows the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'll throw some Greek in here. Syn meaning together, optic means to see. And they should be seen together, the Synoptic Gospels. But John's Gospel stands alone. Well, not alone, apart from the Synoptic Gospels. You can see I've been doing SDI, hey? So anyway, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, in my opinion, records the greatest, in my opinion, as I say, the greatest conversation that Jesus ever had. The greatest one-on-one conversation that Jesus ever had with anybody. Now, in this conversation, we are introduced to a very, very famous Christian phrase. Everybody knows it. Everybody's heard of it. But not everybody may know exactly what it means. Whether you are a believer or a non-believer, whether you come to church or whether you don't come to church, whether you believe in Jesus or whether you don't believe in Jesus, I'm sure you've heard of this saying. It's called born again. Has everyone heard it? Is there anyone who hasn't heard that phrase here this morning? Born again. Okay, there's no hands up. Everyone's heard that phrase. But society as we live in has a habit of watering down the sacred meaning of this phrase. Now, we use it to describe everything. A sportsman's career comes back, makes a comeback, and we say his career is born again. Business will go into financial ruin, but manages to pick itself up out of the financial ashes, and we say that company has been born again. So now we think that everyone and everything is born again. Let me use an illustration here to explain what I'm trying to say. We use the term born again very flippantly. You know, we say people in this church, and even myself, I've referred to myself as a born again Christian. Now that's really inaccurate. That is like theological stuttering. If you are born again, you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are born again. There's no such thing as a non-born-again Christian, and there's no such thing as a born-again non-Christian. Being Christian and born again are synonymous. It's the same thing. Now, if I say to you something like, I'm a South African, South African, that's the same as saying I'm a born-again Christian. If you are South African, you are South African. If you are born again, you are Christian. And I'm repeating myself. If you're Christian, you are born again. You cannot be born again if you're not Christian. And you cannot be a Christian if you're not born again. Okay, it is extremely important to understand this phrase and what this phrase means. According to what Jesus tells Nicodemus, whether you consciously realize it or not, there's an inner longing, a deep desire in your heart that every person on this planet is born with. You know it. You recognize it. Jesus tells us through Nicodemus this morning that being born again is the one essential thing that must be true of you if you want to spend eternity with God. Now that statement causes a reaction with a lot of people. As I say that again, you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. That statement causes a reaction with people. And it caused a reaction with Nicodemus. It shook him. It shook him from head to toe. Everything he had ever been taught was shattered. Everything he had ever believed, blown out of the water. I'm going to summarize what Jesus said to Nico. I'm going to call him Nico. It's very strange. I went to a braai at the Dutch Reformed Church at the end of last year. And it was a leader's braai. And I met a guy, his first name was Nico, and his last name was Demas. And he's a pastor of Lord's Acre Church. So Nicodemus, I'm going to call him Nico for short. So basically this is what Jesus was saying to Nico. He says, you don't have to be a good person. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. You don't have to do good works. And you don't have to pray in order to go to heaven. None of those things. But that is what Nicodemus had been taught all his life. And maybe that's what some of you have been taught all your life. Then Jesus hits him with this. The one thing you need to get to heaven is to be born again. So this is the key concept I want to share with you and I want you to remember this morning. Real life begins with a second birthday. Remember that. Real life begins with a second birthday. So this morning I'm going to show you what it means to be born again and how a person can be born again. So first, you need to grasp what Jesus says. You really need to grasp what Jesus is saying. So let's turn to John, and it's going to be up on the screen. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now there's a very valid reason why John tells us exactly who Nicodemus was. Because Nicodemus is instrumental in the story and bringing the point across. First, we are told he is a Pharisee. Now, there were only 6,000 Pharisees in the whole of the Jewish nation. Millions of Jews, 6,000 Pharisees. They were the top of the spiritual chain. They were the spiritual elite in the nation of Israel. More than anyone else, they led strict religious lives. If you watched Nicodemus, he never missed church. If you watched Nicodemus, he always tithed a tenth of his income. If you watched Nicodemus, he was an expert in the law. He always said his prayers, and he was theologically straight as an arrow. He was a Pharisee. Then John adds another little thing there. He says he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, who were they? The Sanhedrin. They were the Sanhedrin. In modern terms, that is the equivalent of the Jewish constitutional court judges. They were the guys. There were only 70 of them. There were 70 members of the Sanhedrin. So not only was Nico one of 6,000 Pharisees, he was one of 70 members of the council of the Sanhedrin. So, the Sanhedrin were, as I explained, the top of the Jewish justice system. Everything had to go through them. Nothing of importance went on in the nation of Israel unless it went through the Sanhedrin. So to simply put it, Nicodemus was a big cog in the synagogue. He was the man. He was definitely the guy. And everybody looked up to Nicodemus. Everybody. Nicodemus had obviously heard a lot about Jesus. And he obviously wanted to meet him personally. Maybe to have a nice philosophical debate. Maybe to ask him the question that he's going to ask him. But he also knew that Jesus didn't get on with Pharisees. Remember, Jesus loves everybody, but he didn't particularly like the Pharisees or what they stood for. So Nico tries to butter up Jesus. Let's look at verse 2. It says, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. As you can see, he starts off with a compliment. He starts off with flattery. He's trying to soften Jesus up. Nicodemus is saying, I know who you are. I know who you are, Jesus. He says, By the flattery, he's trying to say to Jesus, I'm not one of those normal Pharisees. I'm not one of those ones that you're not going to get on with. I'm one of those nice ones. You're going to like me. And I figured you out. You are a teacher from God. You are a teacher who has come from God. You are a godly man. You are a great guy. Now, you may think that this is really nice for Nicodemus to flatter Jesus like that and to say those sorts of things. But that's what the world says about Jesus today. That's what non-Christians say about Jesus today. Oh yeah, Jesus, great guy. Yeah, Jesus, great teacher. Brilliant mind, amazing spiritual guide. follow his moral code. That's what people say today. John adds a little piece of detail to the scripture. And you have to ask yourself, why does he say it? He says, Jesus came at night. Oh, sorry, he came to Jesus at night. There's a reason for this. Now, there's a very obvious reason. It's dark at night, and Nicodemus has a reputation that he's trying to protect. He doesn't want anybody to see the secret rendezvous. So that's the first reason, the obvious reason. But I believe there's more to this. The Bible tells of one other person that came to Jesus at night. So we have Nicodemus in this instance. The other one was Judas. Judas Iscariot. So what did Judas and Nicodemus have in common? They were both living in spiritual darkness. Their hearts were black and empty. Their souls were dark. There was something missing from their lives. They both needed the light. Let's say you, Nico, for a moment, and you've given Jesus this great compliment saying, you're a great teacher that's come from God and you're doing all these wonderful things. Then he waits expecting either a thanks, or maybe even a compliment in return. Hey, Nicodemus, I've heard of you. You're part of the Sanhedrin, one of the chosen, inverted commas. Instead, Jesus weirds him out completely. He starts to talk about birthdays. Listen to what he says in verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Imagine someone walks up to me and says, "Yanni, you're a great pastor. You are such a good teacher. The Lord is using you in such a powerful way." And without hesitating, I look at them and say, "Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven." You would probably say to me, "Yanni, you need some lessons in relationships." Or maybe some classes in manners. But you have to give credit to Jesus here, because he doesn't beat around the bush. Jesus doesn't have time to beat around the bush. So he gets right to the heart of the matter. Jesus is saying to Nick, he says, "You thought all your life that going to heaven was a matter of religion. You thought all your life that going to heaven was a matter of good works or keeping the law or doing your best. But Nick, you don't understand." This is what Jesus is telling him. "Going to heaven has nothing to do with what you do and everything to do with who you are." Talk about odd. Talk about strange. Talk about radical in this time. Talk about a myth buster. That's what's just happened here. According to Jesus, if you want to go to heaven, it all depends on one thing. How many types of birthdays you've had? How many types of birthdays you've had? We all definitely get one. That's for sure. Every single one of us in this room gets one. But Jesus says to Nicodemus, there's a second type of birthday that's way, way more important. Way more important than your first birthday. The first birthday is for time. The second birthday is for eternity. Your first birthday is for earth. Your second birthday is for heaven. And Jesus says that going to heaven is not about personal change. It's not about you changing yourself. Going to heaven is not about cleaning up your own act. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about trying to do better. It's not about getting religious either. It's all about a birth. However, Nicodemus also thought it was all about a birth. And so did all the Jews at that time. They thought, if you were born a Jew, you're in. If you are a child of Abraham, you're in. If you belong to one of the 12 tribes of Israel, you're in. If you are born of the tribe of Judah, you are definitely in, because that is the tribe that the Messiah is coming from. So Nicodemus thought he was in. His great-grandfather was Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. But Jesus said to Nick, it's not about your physical birth. He says, what you don't understand, being born into a Jewish family or being born into a Christian family doesn't make you a child of God any more than being born in an oven makes you a pizza. God does not care whether Billy Graham was your father and Mother Teresa was your mother. It is irrelevant. I meet people all the time in ministry, all the time, absolutely convinced they're going to heaven. You know why? Because they were born into a certain type of church, or because they were sprinkled as an infant, or because they went for confirmation classes, or because mom and dad are a Christian, or because they were born into a Christian home. The biggest alarm bell for me is when somebody comes to me and says, Yanni, I've always been a Christian. Now, when someone says, I've always been a Christian, it means you've never been a Christian. It's like coming up to me and saying, Yanni, are you married? Yes, I've always been married. That's nonsense. There was a time that I was married, and there was a time that I was single. There's a time where you are not born again, and there's a time when you are born again. There's a very definite moment in time. So, Jesus tells Nicodemus that going to heaven has nothing to do with your physical birth and everything to do with a spiritual birth. So I want to stop for one moment and I want to give old Nick huge credit here. Because, you know, if we go to the world and we tell people, the unsaved, if we say to the world, those who are not churched, who do not know Christ, and we say to them, you must be born again to go to heaven. What is the number one response? Begins with the letter W. Why? Why should I be born again? Why should I be born again? I'm a good person. I've never robbed a bank. I've never raped anybody. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen. I've never cheated on my wife. Why would you say that I have to be born again? As I said, I'm going to give Nick credit here. What does he ask Jesus? How do I get born again? This brings me to number two. You need to receive what Jesus offers. So verse 4. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Nick is saying, let me get my head around this. You can't mean what I think you mean. It's impossible to be physically born again. You must be talking about some other kind of birth. Nico knew deep in his heart that in spite of all his religion and all his righteousness, that he was just one flawed, sinful human being, just like everyone else. I believe when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks, how can I be born again? He's saying, how can you put your life in reverse? How can I redo life? How can I rewind the tape? How can I erase the past? But Jesus says to Nick, you do not need a new start. No, Nicholas. You don't need a new start. You need a new life. You need a new life, and it's a life that only God can give you. Think about it. Everybody in this room, as I said earlier, has had a physical birth. Everybody got here by a physical birth. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you chose to be born? Anybody? That's no hands. Nobody chose to be born. Okay, how many of you were born in South Africa? Raise your hands. Okay, quite a lot of you. How many of you chose to be born in South Africa? Nobody chose to be born in South Africa. The family that you were born into, did you choose that family? Yeah, some of you may have chosen another family if you could get to choose. When it comes to your physical birth, you have absolutely nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. It's done no effort whatsoever on your half. The natural often reflects the spiritual in many things we live in life. Helps us to understand what's going on in the spiritual. And it does again in this instance. Jesus is saying the same thing is true of a spiritual birth. Spiritual birth has nothing to do with what you can do for God, and everything to do with God has already done for you. It all comes from Him. Everything comes from Him. You were born because God chose you to be born physically. He chose to give you physical life. You are reborn, born again, because God chooses to give you spiritual life. Verses 5 to 7, we're still in John 3. Jesus repeats. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Understand this, my brothers and sisters. Being born again is not making a new start in life. It's receiving a new start. Let me repeat that. Actually, this is borrowed from someone else. It's a phrase that I thought was fantastic, and I'm going to read it out. Being born again is not making a new start in life. It's receiving a new life to start with. Being born again is not a matter of making a new start in life. It's receiving a new life to start with. Big difference. There's no such thing as a do-it-yourself salvation. No. God does something for you that you cannot do for yourself. He's going to give you a new birth. So, number one, we have to grasp what Jesus is saying. Number two, we've got to receive what Jesus is offering. And number three, we are to believe what Jesus said. So, verse 9, how can this be? How can this be? Nicodemus asks. He's disturbed. He's desperate. Nicodemus is shaken. His worldview has been shattered. Everything he has ever been taught, everything he has ever thought, has just been blown out of the water by this conversation with Jesus. Verse 10. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. He's responding to how can this be now. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things." Remember, he's the Pharisee. He's part of the Sanhedrin. "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" Jesus says to Nico, "You have one problem. You do not believe." To believe and to receive are the same thing. You don't receive because you do not believe. When Jesus met Nicodemus on that night, this was not an encounter between two religious people. It was a collision between two world philosophies, two opposing views of salvation. As I explained to you, Jesus was saying spiritual birth. Nicodemus was saying, if you're born a Jew. The reason why they were not connecting was the same reason why Christianity is not like any other religion that we have on this world today. It's not the same. It's the reason why all roads do not lead to God. Here's what Nicodemus was saying, and here's what Jesus was saying. Nicodemus thought, "You've got to work for your salvation." Jesus said, "God does the work." Nicodemus thought, "I've got to earn my salvation." Jesus says, "It's a free gift." It's a free gift. Nicodemus thought it was a trade-off. Jesus says, "It's something that you receive if you believe." Now, to drive the point home, John, the Gospel of John, he gives arguably the most famous and probably one of the most well-known scriptures in the whole Bible. And I'm going to put it on the screen. Everybody knows it. And I'm going to ask us to read it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that believes in him shall not perish, eternal life." Amen. That is where so many religious people get it wrong. That is where so many church members get it wrong. And there may be some of you sitting here in this room today saying, sure, I'm cool. I believe. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that he lived the perfect life. I believe that he did all those incredible miracles. I believe he died on the cross. I believe that he got raised from the dead. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he's coming again. You can believe all of that and still not go to heaven. This is where people miss it. It's not about a head belief. It's not about believing in your head. It's about believing with your heart. Believing with your heart. And there is a huge, huge difference. Please stand with me. Close your eyes. And listen carefully while I read out John 3:16 again, as well as verses 17 and 18. Just listen. Allow God to really impart what he's saying here to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. When you really believe in your heart, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, when you really believe, you admit your sin. When you really believe, you repent of your sin. When you really believe, you turn away from your sin. Is your heart empty like Nicodemus this morning? Have you tried to fill that space in your heart with the things of this world? Maybe you've tried to fill it with alcohol. Maybe you've tried to fill that emptiness with drugs. Maybe you've tried to fill that emptiness with sex. Maybe you've tried to fill that emptiness in your heart with money and material things. Maybe you've tried to fill that emptiness in your heart with religion. Maybe you've tried to fill that emptiness with food or educating yourself higher, looking for acknowledgement from people around. All these things, all these worldly things cannot fit the hole in your heart. It's impossible, because that hole has one shape, and it is the shape of Jesus Christ. The emptiness will remain if you try to fill it with the things of this world. Temporarily it may go, but wake up in the morning and it's right back there, empty, like Nicodemus, an empty heart, like Judas, spiritual darkness. Maybe you have a craving for something more this morning that you can't even explain. I'm here to explain to you that Jesus Christ is the only one who can fulfill that emptiness. So if there's anyone like here this morning, Lord, anyone here with that emptiness, with that longing, maybe you've tried to fill that hole with, as I said, material things of this world, food and money and drugs and sex, gambling, alcohol. I just want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else who acknowledges that they need a new birth? That you need to accept Christ as your Savior, your one and only Savior? That you need to surrender to Him as Lord? Is there anyone who finally understands today what you need, you do not have. You cannot get it for yourself. You can only receive it by faith. Please come up here, those who have raised your hands. Be bold and come stand here this morning. When you come to God and say, I must be born again, then you are ready. Then you are ready to be born again. It's incredible to think. He has some wisdom for you. Some godly wisdom. One size fits all. One sin commits all. One salvation forgives all. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your love. Father, I just pray that as we leave this room today, Lord, that the Spirit of God goes with us, Lord. And Father, if any of us have grown cold, Lord, and have started to try and put the things of this world into that shape that only has your, the hole that only has your shape, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to minister. It's not about what we do. It's not about the church that we were born into. It's not about having Christian parents. It's not about saying your prayers. It's not about fasting. It's not about tithing. It's about one thing, a spiritual rebirth. Lord, if any of us have forgotten, let us cast our minds back and Holy Spirit, remind us of that time when we were so excited for you, Lord. We were on fire, Lord, sharing your goodness with everybody that came across our paths, Lord. We would tell it to mere strangers. We would share it with our families and our work colleagues with excitement and passion about what you've done in our lives, Lord. And we thank you this morning for a miracle, Lord. A supernatural miracle in the Spirit, Lord, to revive everybody, Lord, to remember the happy birthday that you gave them. Not the first one, Lord, but the second one. The one that is for eternity. The one that is for heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.